What we're going to talk about tonight is from 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Just that short, even that short phrase at the beginning, we are all ambassadors. Just to even take those words, we, that means all of us here, as it says, we all, every single person here who is a believer in Christ, who has received that gift of salvation, we are, as a present tense, it's an indicative mood in the Greek, which means it's real, we are, it's not just a metaphor, we are ambassadors of Christ. And even going in Ephesians, Paul said from prison, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Ephesians 6:19 through 20. So we are, just as Paul was, an ambassador for Christ. Well, what's our function as ambassadors? There are probably many, but some that I came up with in thinking and praying about this was that we represent Christ with our words. What we say to the world, to our brothers and sisters, we represent Him with our words and what we say and what we speak. We evangelize to the world to bring those to Christ who are to be part of the kingdom. We speak comfort to others, whether they be believers or not. Our words are representations of the love of Christ, the compassion of Christ. We represent Christ with our actions and sometimes with our non-actions. How we act is a representation of Christ. What does it mean when we say we're Christian? You know, we're Christ-like. Are we acting as Christ would have us act? Thirdly, we represent Christ just with our very being. You see, with words, you can mimic words. There are preachers who sometimes I wonder whether they're really born again based on their lifestyle, and which means we can mimic words and we can fake actions, but our being is a representation of Christ because He makes us new. We're new creatures in Christ. And so with our very being, we represent Him. We represent who He is and what He has done in our lives. And most importantly to me, as I came, was that we represent Christ to man, not man to Christ. We're not, as in the Tower of Babel, trying to build a big tower to God and try to form our way to God. God sent us to be a representative of Him to mankind, a representative of Him to humans who are lost, to humans who are suffering, to our brethren. And so we represent Him because He has made the first step. He has been the author of our faith. He's the finisher of our faith. And in essence, even Christ is the chief ambassador, if you will. As we talked about a couple weeks ago in Colossians 1:15, He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Jesus is the visible representation of the Trinity. He's the first, the chief ambassador to man. He is what mankind sees, has seen when He was here on earth, sees in our heart when we see who the Godhead is in the Trinity. And as He was the visible representation of the Trinity, we now are the visible representation of Christ. You see, we're called the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12:27, which says, now you are, again you are, presently the body of Christ and members individually. See, sometimes we get the idea of body of Christ as just this big, big thing, but it's telling us it's down to the individual person. You're a member of the body of Christ. You represent Christ. You represent the body of Christ. And 2 Corinthians 3:2 through 3, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh. That is, of the heart. We are epistles of Christ. We are His word to the world. His word of what can happen if faith comes into our heart and we accept Christ as our Lord and our believers. What will change? What can happen? What Christ can do in the life of a broken life. Now, to me, that all seems strange because in the earthly sense, who are the ambassadors? You know, they're generally the high mucky mucks of the world, right? People vie for, you know, to be ambassadors to, you know, especially ambassador to Great Britain or ambassador to the larger nations of the world. People vie for that job. But what did God do? He chose the foolish. He chose us. He chose us to shame the wise. And in 1 Corinthians 1, 27 through 29, it says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world, that's us, to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things, that's us, of the world, to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, and here's to me, that no flesh should glory in His presence. You see, God doesn't like to share His glory. He is the only one that deserves glory. He is our God, after all, and He desires not to share that glory with flesh. And so He chooses us, the foolish things, to do His work because we know we can't do it of our own accord. We know we don't have the power to do the things we're going to talk about tonight in and of ourselves. It's only the Holy Spirit through us. It's only by walking in the power of the Holy Spirit that we can do anything that brings any glory to God. But He receives the glory because it's of Him. It's always of Him. Anything that's worth anything was of Him and not of us. And part of what's being talked about is, as we talk about this office of ambassador, is what's implied, because a great mercy is implied in this ambassadorship. Because you see, man has been at war with God from the fall of Adam. We've talked about this a little bit in Romans, but Romans 3, the Lord says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Man's at war with God. It's amazing to even think of that. In Revelation, it talks about those who are there at the end of this age, of this time in the tribulation, actually declaring war upon God, as if they think they're going to win a war against the Almighty Creator. It just shows how foolish man can be. But man has been at war with God just in his deceitfulness, in his wicked ways. James 4:4, it talks about if we want to be friendly with the world, we're going to be at enmity with God. We're going to be His enemies. And so God calls us out of the world. God calls us to be like Him because He gives us the power to do that. Now, God decided not to wage this bitter war to its very end, because if He decided to do that, He could wipe us out with the breath of His mouth, if you will. He just needs to speak into existence and we would be gone. He has decided not to wage this war to the bitter end. He decided to offer a peace to mankind. As we read, He desires to offer reconciliation to man. And we as ambassadors, as we read previously in the verse, are one of those aspects that reconciliation is offered to man. Again, Colossians 1, which we covered a few weeks ago, 21 through 22. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. What's really important about this is to understand who's doing all the work here. It's not man. It's not man reconciling himself to God. It's not man presenting himself holy and blameless before God. Everything being said here is the work of God. God reconciles us. God desires reconciliation. God desires peace. We see that. We see that in the work of our Lord. He sent Jesus Christ to be the offering for our sin. He sent Jesus to be the mediator of the covenant that we now enjoy. You see, even the covenant that we are in isn't something that we sustain. It isn't something that we work at. Christ is the mediator. Christ is the person that's between us and the Godhead. We're ambassadors for our Lord. We're ambassadors to bring this good news to men, to bring good news that God desires peace. And we know from the scriptures not all men are going to follow that. But our commission, the Great Commission in Matthew 28, is to go forth into all the nations, to tell the good news, to make disciples. Because Christ has given us this great office that's bestowed upon us of ambassadors of Christ. Yes, it's a great office. It's a great office that's bestowed to us because, well, after all, it is royal business to be an ambassador, right? We're ambassador of the King. What better office could we have? And if you think even, in an earthly context, an ambassador who's dealing with the government of another nation, he's not doing anything of his own power. You know, Ambassador Jim Milligan really doesn't have a lot behind him to offer any kind of importance to an act. But if you were, I'm the ambassador of the United States and you're talking to somebody else, you have the might and the power, the economic power, the military power of the United States behind that. It offers some power. Well, we're ambassadors of the King, the creator of the universe. We gain nothing here but any power of our own as to this. We have no influence of our own. It all comes from who we represent. We're acting in accordance with the office ambassadors of our King. You see, he is the King. He may be a king exiled. I tried to think of some examples of that today, and the only two that I could come up with, you have the Romanov family, who's the family of the Tsar of Russia, who lived in exile, and those that lived through the revolution in England for a long time. And I think they say that current head, Peter Romanov, still is alive. And then you had the Shah of Iran, and he was exiled when he was thrown out by the people there in Iran. And what we really have, in essence, an exiled king, because he came to set up his kingdom. He came on earth, and his people rejected him. Now, we saw from Romans 1, 2, and 3 that not only did his people, the Jews, reject him, but everybody in the world has rejected him. The blame falls on all mankind. But Jesus decided voluntarily to go back to his position sitting next to the Father on the throne. He's a king in exile in a certain example. And what we are is we're ambassadors. We're ambassadors to come and tell the people that he's coming again. The King is going to come back and take his rightful throne. He's going to come back in glory, and to give the good news that those who believe will be saved. Those who believe can also become ambassadors. We know he voluntarily left. He didn't leave because we, and that by our own power, drove him out, because at the garden he told Peter, he could call down legions of angels to stop what was going on if he wanted. We know that he voluntarily offered himself up on the cross for us. That's the good news. And we have a great office that's bestowed upon us to be ambassadors for the King of all the universe, for the King that's coming again in glory. What an awesome, awesome duty it is for us. And again, I want to say that as we talk about a duty, as we talk about things that we might do as ambassadors. The strength and the power to do all of that is in Christ. The strength and power is not of ourselves. And so many times as Christians, we get caught up in duty and start thinking, well, how do I have to do this? How do I have to do that? And how can I do this? And you can't in and of yourself. It's only of Christ. And the same power that you're representing gives you the power to do the things that the Lord asks us to do. And one of the things that we have to do is actually give an account of what we're to do. Not for the sake of our salvation, but for the sake of what the Lord has called us to do. We have a parable of a talent
in Luke 19:12-27, and a parallel passage in
Matthew 25:14-30. And we see that the Lord gave to his, in the metaphor, the king gave to his servants each funds to hold on his behalf while he was gone, and some invested it and returned 100-fold, and some returned 10-fold, and then there was one that buried it and didn't do anything with it. And when the king came back, he talked to the first person, said, well, here's the 100-fold that has been a return on what has been invested. And the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. And I will give you more things to be responsible over. And he went to the next who returned less than 100-fold, 10-fold, and the same response. Well done, good and faithful servant. And it was only to the servant that didn't do anything with it that there was a rebuke, a condemnation. You see, the fruit that comes from our lives isn't of us. It's of God. It's not the fruit that produces itself. It's the vine. And the Lord had the same commendation for those who returned 100-fold, to those who returned 10-fold, to whatever it might be, because he's the source of that power. It's only when we try to do it in our own strength, when we try to figure it out, when we, in essence, bury it in the ground and use our graven talents to do it, that there's no fruit. But God gives the power to the fruit, and he rewards us for that. That's what's amazing. It's his power. He's assigned, it says in Ephesians, even the good works that we're to do. Well done, good and faithful servant. We all want to hear those words. We all want to do what God's called us to do. And it's not about how many people respond to what we say. It's only that we go and say. And it's the Lord's work to have and to move the hearts upon people to respond. If you're worried about evangelizing and numbers, we've got the wrong attitude. It's just about speaking what God has given us, and it's his responsibility. Whatever it might be in our lives, whatever position we're in, it's where we're at. If God's called us to be there at that point in time, that's the fruit God has in our lives. We're just dutiful to be what he wants us to be. That great duty, we also need to be careful. We need to be faithful in representing Christ correctly. 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Again, it's not speaking of salvation here. It's talking about a worker. It's talking about someone who's serving the Lord. Be diligent. When we teach, we should be making sure that what we teach is from the Word of God, that it's rightly divided. We're not teaching popular faith or easy believism or whatever might be the current fad of Christianity at this point in time. We need to rightly divide the Word of truth. That's a duty that we have, to be in the Word and understand it. And those of us who teach have a huge responsibility to represent our Lord correctly, and people rely on it. Unfortunately, people rely on it too heavily, rather than being as the Bereans and going in and seeing if what that guy said is really true. It's so rampant in the church today that people in the congregation just sit and accept as gospel the words rather than turning to the gospel to see if it's true. But that's not what we're about at Reverence Bible Church. That's why we have reverence and Bible. We reverence our Lord. It's about teaching the word. It's about seeing if what Kevin says there on Sunday morning or what I'm saying right now or Dan says or Bill, is that what the word says? Is that what God says? Rightly dividing the word of truth. That's a great duty for us as ambassadors of Christ. Sometimes in thinking about ambassadors is, I think when we go on mission trips and you're going into another country, sometimes surreptitiously, sometimes covertly, without the approval of the government. I know that for me, sometimes it's good to know that there's an embassy down the road or a flight away or not too far away, because there is the ambassador of the United States. The ambassador has the power of the economic and military backing of the United States, and if I get into trouble, I can go, that's what they're there for, to that embassy, which is U.S. soil on foreign ground, if you will. And it can be as simple as having lost your passport, which people have done on mission trips, or leave them in airports. Or,
although it wasn't really an embassy, but when Pastor Kevin and I and a friend, a different Pastor Bill,
went to China 1 year. And now this was right in the middle of this time, you know, when the spy plane was. And we
went into the mainland and
we went into the hotel because the plane was late, and we went into this hotel right next to the airport, and we walk into the dining room. It was like an E.F. Hutton commercial. These five guys walking in the dining room and everything went silent. It's like they looked, and you know, Kevin could pass for it okay, but the other guys there didn't. And as we sat down to eat these things, I am not kidding, and this, we were watching on these television sets from the ceiling this news program in Chinese about nuclear missiles going back and forth over the ocean between China and the United States. You know, as what they were predicting what would happen because of the spy plane, I'm thinking, Bill, what are you doing? You know, where is the embassy? You know, just
a few days earlier, we had gone to the Republic of China's visa office in Hong Kong to get our visas to enter the mainland.
They were nice enough at the very end. Well, we'll be glad. You don't have to come back to pick these up. We'll be glad to have these delivered to your hotel. And we said, oh, that'd be fine. That'd be great. And Pastor Bill looks and says, well, can you deliver our spy plane with it when you deliver the passport? And Kevin and I ran down the hall and said, oh my gosh, he did not say what he said. You can be thankful that we have an embassy to help us when there's times of need. And I thought that we were going to need it that time. But one of the things that that ambassadors do is represent Christ to his group of people. Okay? If I lose a passport, he helps me do it. If I get in a car accident, they help us as citizens of the United States. Well, we have that responsibility as ambassadors of Christ as well. One of the things we're to do is to bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's another way we represent Christ to our people? We pray for one another. James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We need to pray for one another. In Sewing Circle, we support about, I don't know, 100 missionaries or so across the world. And we're very, very committed to the fact that we don't just support missionaries financially, that we support them with prayer. And every week, a team prays for a group of missionaries. There's a team of two, as Nathan can attest to for a long time. He, once a week, would gather with somebody. And all of our missionaries are prayed for at least once a week by by a team. And we take that very seriously, that support, that we probably consider that prayer support more important than the financial support. We're to pray for one another. We come together and it's the Lord's power in our lives. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Another function that we do as ambassadors amongst His own people is to show compassion, to forgive, to be tender-hearted, be kind. Now, there's a long list, and we're going to, if you actually did a study sometime, and just if you go to blueletterbible.org and go on the search and type one another, you'll get a long list of verses that tell us, as ambassadors of Christ, what we ought to be doing for one another, His people. Love one another, edify one another. Beautiful study of what the church should be in the power of Christ. But we're also supposed to represent Christ to another people, to those who don't know the one true God. And we stated before, Matthew 28:18-20 was the Great Commission. We need to go and tell people that mercy is available in Jesus Christ, that He was lifted up on the cross. If you go back to Exodus and think about the Israelites going across the wilderness for 40 years, longer than they needed to because of their disbelief, a land with snakes and bite and kill, and a brass pole was put up with a serpent on it. That was in the middle of the camp. It was lifted up. And if you were bitten, all you needed to do was look to that serpent on that pole. And Jesus Himself said that as that serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so He needed to be lifted up. And those who will look to Him for their salvation, we need to represent that. We need to tell people about that. Preach the word, 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word and be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Many times we take this and we say, well, this is a pastoral epistle and, you know, that's for pastors. And that's true. It is. But I don't think it negates the fact that it's true for all of us as believers in Christ. For we're all ministers. As we've talked about, we're all ambassadors. We should all be able to preach a word of comfort, preach a word about our Lord Jesus Christ, about Him, His glory, who He is. We need to let people know who is Jesus Christ. It's amazing. I don't think I'm that old, but I just know that when I was younger, a lot more people knew who Jesus Christ was. A lot more kids in school knew who Jesus Christ was, where nowadays obviously, because our culture, you can't even say the name without probably be taken to court for something or other. But as we get closer to that time when the Lord returns, as it was in the day of Noah, it's just going to get worse and worse. We need to be prepared to preach the word of comfort. But all of these things are done in the power of the Holy Spirit. They're done only to glorify Him, not ourselves. They're to bring Him glory, as we saw. But He has a special prize. A special prize for us who are ambassadors. And that's the fact that as ambassadors of another power, our Lord Jesus is, that's where our citizenship is. We're not citizens of this world. We're citizens of a place where our Lord sits on the throne, where tens and thousands and millions probably, because in the Greek, they don't get numbers too much higher. Just say when it says thousands upon thousands upon thousands of angels around the throne glorifying God. We can't even conceive of really what that is. But that's where our citizenship is. That's our home. And I think about, we've only gone on short mission trips And I think the longest one I've ever been away is maybe three and a half weeks, somewhere in that time frame. And I just know that I'm not gone a day or two until I'm thinking about home, you know? I'm thinking about when will I get home? When will I see my family? When will I hear them? What, you know, almost the entire time that's there. And that's really where our heart is. Our home is with Christ, our home. When will he come and get us? When will we be home? But for now, for this time period, he's given us a great duty. He's bestowed upon us a high office of being his ambassadors. But our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3:17-21. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For I as often told you before and now, say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. We see that today. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. So much of the church, unfortunately, is right there. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. That's what we long for, that citizenship in heaven. In reality, it could be something that is ours, but it's ours in name, in position, as being ambassadors of Christ. But now we're in the field. We're in the mission field, literally. We're in the mission field of the earth. But someday, he's going to come. And someday, we're going to be able to start that first day of the rest of eternity in a heavenly city, Revelation 22:1-7. Let's look a little bit about our heavenly city, of where we're going to be. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of his street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. And Jesus' words, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book, that being the book of Revelation. And that one verse right there in the middle, verse 5, the end of it, and they shall reign forever and ever. Forever and ever. Whether that they refers to the Father and the Lamb, or that they refers to us who reign with him, as it says in other scriptures, doesn't matter. We shall be forever in our heavenly city with our Lord, right there in the midst, with his love pouring forth, the river of living water pouring forth from the throne. What better thing to look forward to, and what better thing to know of our great duty, of the office that's bestowed upon us, to go out and talk about a great mercy given by our God as Christ's ambassadors. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for using us, the foolish things of the world, to bring you glory. I know we don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. But God, we thank you for just being a part of what you have designed for this world. We thank you for the salvation you have given us by faith through grace. And Lord, we just ask for just the power to do the things you ask us to do, because we can't do it of ourselves. Help us to be Christians like you, representing you, to bring you glory. And we thank you and praise you for loving us. And we ask all these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.